from John 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the tomb had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed.
I love that, the way that that passage ends. I love the way that it says that he... Well, for one thing, I love that it gives props to the slow people. I like that. I like the fact that the slow guy got mentioned there, and you know, the last guy to arrive, because, you know, I've always been challenged in the speed department. My baseball coach always told me I had sneaky speed. He said, "It looks like you're going a whole lot faster than you really are." And coach, you've got players like that, you know. But I like the way that it says that when he got there, he goes in, he saw. And he believed. He saw and he believed. You know, we go through a lot of our lives and we're told a lot of things, and we're supposed to live our life in such a way on this transcendent plane that goes above our circumstances, and we're supposed to do all of that because of what God has called us to believe. And every one of us in here knows that what we are called to believe is pretty unbelievable. So at times we need to see in order to believe. We really do. We need to see this story right here in the lives of one another so that we can believe. We need to see the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the fact that by the power of God, death, the one universal fear that we all have, the one universal experience that we're all going to have one day, that we need to know that Jesus has conquered that, and because of that, we can see it in the lives of other people, and we can believe that can happen for us as well. There's a story I want to share with you, and we'll briefly get into the sermon. A lady was planning her funeral. She was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and what it was really doesn't matter, but because we all have this terminal illness called humanity. But she was given, she fought a valiant fight, and she was given a certain amount of time to live. And as a responsible person, she goes to the funeral home to make all of the necessary arrangements and to pick out all the colors and the this and the that, and to talk to the preacher and make sure that he knew what to say and all the right verses and what songs that she wanted and when and all of that. And she was making plans for her funeral. And at the very end, she tells the preacher, "Oh, by the way, I want you to put in my, as I'm laying there in my casket there, I want you to put a fork in my hand, just a regular dinner fork, you know, no flowers, no, you know, sometimes when you have the flowers," he says, no, just a regular run of the mill plastic fork." He said, "Well, I'm going to have to ask why." She said, "Well, because people will ask, what's the fork all about? And you'll have an opportunity to tell them this. It's about what lies ahead. And she went on to explain that as a child, she used to love going to family reunions and having dinners with her family and all of the gatherings that they would have. And the food was amazing. And there was all kinds of casseroles and hams and turkeys and deviled eggs. And everything was just always wonderful. And she would just eat and fellowship and have a great time. And then at the end of the meal, when the plates were being cleared and everything was being taken away, there was always this one favorite uncle of hers that would lean over and say, "Keep your fork." He would always tell her to keep her fork. And she knew that when he said, "Keep your fork," that meant that dessert was next. That the best was yet to come. Even though the meal was wonderful, even though that the fellowship had been great, that she knew the pies and the cakes and all of the things that were coming out of that kitchen next were the best that they had to offer. And just the thought of keeping that fork and knowing that she was prepared for the best part of the meal, she always remembered that. And so as she lay there in her final resting state, she wanted that fork. So when people asked, why the fork? The preacher could tell them, because she is waiting for the best that is yet to come. She knows that this life that she has lived and everything about it, as great as it might be, that the best is yet to come. The dessert that is prepared for her at the end of all of this is better than anything that she has experienced. She wanted to live life with the understanding of keep your fork, because the best is yet to come. This morning, this Easter morning, the day that our Savior, that our Messiah came triumphantly out of the grave, this morning for us is all about keeping your fork. And not just in a symbolic kind of way. Not just in this way of oh yeah, okay, you know, it's not going to be. No, keep it, because it is so worth it. And not only is it worth it, not only is the resurrection, not only is the heaven that we all plan towards, that we all want to experience, that we all hope in, not only is it worth it, but as we have talked about over and over in the last few weeks, it is more real than we can possibly imagine. As real as you think heaven is this morning, it's more real. As real as you think that the peace that passes all understanding, as real as you think that the bliss and the joy and the no more tears and the no more sorrow, as real as you think it is more real than even we can imagine. And the resurrection proves that to us. This morning, as we talk about this event, this historic event, this real historic event that tells us that the best is yet to come, I want to talk about a few things this morning that kind of put it all in perspective. I want to take Easter, the resurrection story, the reality of our Messiah, which then becomes the reality of our lives. It really does. Easter makes the reality of the resurrection our reality. And I want to talk about it in a way that we can take it with us on a daily basis. Because my dream for this church, my goal for each one of us, is that just like all the other big religious days of our lives, like Christmas, I want us to be Easter people, not just today, but tomorrow and the rest of this week. People that live a transcendent reality, knowing that the best is yet to come. And no matter what happens now, no matter what torturous circumstances we might be facing, no matter what cross we might be nailed to, that the best is yet to come. But for some, Easter is a dangerous temptation. For some, Easter and days like today and thinking about the resurrection and thinking about dessert and the best is yet to come, it's a dangerous proposition. It's a dangerous temptation, because you have to ask your question, what are you waiting for? There are some people who live as in their idea of being an Easter kind of person, a hoping for the future kind of person, is to forget about what Jesus came to bring to us right now. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, he says that there are some who would come and would give a false hope, a false peace, a false messiahship. And he said that they would they'll come and wreck everything. But the real Messiah, the real shepherd, he has come to bring us life. And to bring us life to the fullest. You see, not only does the resurrection secure for us that the best is yet to come, the keep your fork mentality because it's going to be even better, but one of the things that it does for us is it makes the meal now so much better. You see, the reality is that no matter how bad it gets, I mean, remember what the Hebrew writer said, that yet for the joy set before him, he endured the cross? You see, what the resurrection does for us, what Easter does for us, is it reminds us that the meal right now, the life we're living right now, even though there are crosses in our path, even though that there are trials and tribulations, even though there are issues and there's fallenness, that it's in Christ, it's a really great meal right now. It really is. That the resurrection takes everything and makes it that much better, that much more able to be endured, makes the hard times not so hard, and the great times even greater. So what are we waiting for? It's not all about the grave. You see, what the empty tomb tells us is that this life, even though it's a universal experience, even though death, it chases us all, that this life doesn't have to all be about the grave. That this life can all be about the life. That we can enjoy the meal, knowing that no matter what, dessert's on its way. The best is yet to come. You know, when I was a kid, I was always told, you don't get dessert unless you clean your plate. Well, as you can tell, I'm a pro at cleaning my plate. Can I get an amen? There you go, brother. But sometimes, you know, we think about, well, unless you clean your plate, unless your meal lives up to this. And so we end up just, you know, oh man, God, I shouldn't have got so much of this. I shouldn't have got so much of that. Jesus says, no, it's not like that. I've cleaned your plate for you. Enjoy the meal. Eat what you want. Throw away what you don't. My Father has cattle on 1,000 hills. Don't worry about that. Enjoy the meal, because no matter what, whether you clean your plate or not, whether it's this way or it's that way, the best is no matter what still to come. It's not all about the grave. You know, there's a show on TV that I like to watch. It's on the Learning Channel or the Discovery Channel or something. It's called Doomsday Preppers. Anybody ever watch that? Anybody else besides you? Yeah, I knew you would have. It would share half a brain. You know, and there's these people that they come up with, oh, solar flares. Oh, we're going to have solar flares and it's going to be the end of the world. So you know what they're doing? They're stockpiling stuff. Green beans and rice and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, if that's what you got to eat for the end of the world, just, you know, I hope the solar flare burns me up because I don't want to eat nothing but that. But that's all they're doing. They're digging holes and they're making these bunkers and they're hunkering down and they're stockpiling ammo and all kinds of all this stuff and all of these escape routes and da, da, da. And you know what happens? And Vic and I talk about this, is that for them, the tragedy's already happened. For them, life as they know it's already over. What are you preparing for? Because in your mind, it's already happened. The solar flares, the economy this, or the Russians are coming, or the something's going to happen, and they're just preparing. Their whole life is about the tragedy. You know what? I'm not going to live my life as though the worst has already happened. Because Jesus says, I've come that you can have life. He didn't say, I've come that you can avoid death. I've come that you can have life. The empty tomb helps us focus on life. The next question, a question we have to ask ourselves, if it's not going to be this tragic temptation for us, do we really believe that? Do we really believe the best is yet to come? Can we really, down deep in our heart of hearts, trust, number one, that no matter what our plate looks like when the end of the meal happens, that we do in fact get dessert? Do we really believe the best is yet to come? And do we think that it is better than what we're eating now? Do we believe with all of our heart that being in the presence of God, being in Zion, in the place where the presence of God meets the presence of man, do we believe that it's better? Or do we just have some kind of maybe I'll win the lottery kind of hope that it's better? In 1 Corinthians 15... 20 through 22, we kind of have a reality check for us. It says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And the fact that he says that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, because if we believe anything about Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he is our Messiah, that our lives are redeemed in him, then his resurrection becomes our resurrection. And if he, because remember the teaching about baptism, in baptism, his death becomes our death. And in his resurrection, that then becomes ours. So we are again reminded of our freedom to live now. We've already been raised from the dead. We've already been redeemed from the grave. He says he's indeed been raised. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Now, we could spend hours on the grammatical structure of that, but the reality is that in Christ, we have been made alive. You know what that means? We're already alive. Right now. We are experiencing, the theology of that verse tells us that before Christ, in Adam, in our humanity, we're already experiencing the death every day. We're already experiencing what the reality of living a life that is ending. But in Christ, we're already living a life that's never ending. We're already alive right now. Do we believe that? Do we believe that we're living that eternal life right now? That spiritually, that there is no death for us, that there is nothing to fear. So we can live life as though we're spending house money right now. You know when you go to a casino, or I know that we would never go to a casino, I get it. But if you did, and they just give you a bunch of chips when you walk in the door, do you care if you lose those? Doc, you're playing poker. They give you $10,000 in house money. Maybe you're going to say once or twice, I'm all in. I'm all in on this. Because if I lose this, it doesn't matter. It's not mine. Because of this side of the picture, we're playing with house money right now. So we have nothing to lose because we can't lose it. We've already been made alive. I have one statement to make in closing. This Easter, will you believe that your best days are ahead of you? Regardless of where you are financially, regardless of where you are relationally, regardless of where you are in any stage of life, age or not, regardless if you think, in fact, that the good old days have come and gone, the reality in Christ, because of the resurrection of our Messiah, we know that no matter where we are, our best days are still ahead. Now, if you've had some pretty good days, if you've already had some really, if you've already gone through the good old days, guess what? Look forward to the better now days. Look forward to the days where if you were not worried about anything before, I don't know what the opposite of not being worried is, but it isn't worry, but you're going to be even less worried. You're going to have even more joy. You're going to be able to experience even more of the fullness and the beauty of life, because if you believe at all that Jesus lives, and so we are made alive, every day is better than the last. And you know why? Because we're closer to a more full experience. We're closer to an experience of Christ that's unfiltered. We're closer to experiencing God more fully every single day. Not only because every day we live, the second coming of Christ is closer, but every day we live, we grow and we get, our soul expands to see more and experience more of God. We get closer to Him as we mature in Christ, as we own more and more of His resurrection, and then our daily resurrection. Our souls get bigger so that we can experience more of Him. I'm telling you, your best days are ahead of you. And in Luke 24, 5 through 8, the question is asked, why do you look for the living among the dead? Some 2,000 years ago, those disciples went to the tomb looking for the body of Christ. And they didn't find it because they were looking in the wrong place. They were looking in the place that they expected to find the body of Christ, but He wasn't there. You see, for us, in order for our best days to be ahead of us, we can no longer be looking for the living among the dead. We can no longer be looking for the experience of Christ, no longer looking for a relationship with Christ among the dead. I'm not to say the dead people, but the dead experiences, the dying experience. We can no longer be looking for our sustenance, our value, our reality in the things that will perish. But we have to be looking for our value, looking for our security, looking for our salvation in the one thing that will never perish, spoil or fade. And that is the eternally risen Savior. This Easter morning, what are you waiting for? Can we own the resurrection of Christ in such a way that makes now so much better, so much sweeter, so much more than it's ever been? Can we believe that our best days are yet to come? That living each day of this life, because we've already been made alive in Christ, can we allow Easter to not only change one Sunday, but can we allow it to change every day? And not just every day, but every breath of that day. Can it be a little brighter? A little more full of joy? A little more empty of worry and anxiety? Can we leave here today being full-time Easter people? Jesus came to this earth, and the Hebrew writer says that He took on the form of a man, and He lived the life of the cross, and He was tempted in every way, so that we have a high priest where we can boldly, we can courageously, we can without fear approach the throne of God. This morning I'm inviting you to do that. Through His stripes, through His crucifixion, and His resurrection, can we experience God daily with courage and boldness, coming to Him, experiencing God on a level only those who are raised from the dead can experience God. Whatever your need is this Easter morning, if you need to be brought near to God, if you need to get closer to Him, if you need to confess dependence, spiritual dependence on Him once and for all, and be buried in baptism, to be raised up in that resurrection, can this Easter morning be your resurrection morning too? Whatever your need is, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.